You're a wizard, Harry.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, I cannot. It's serious because it's very important, please.
Chamber of Secrets, the original motion picture soundtrack. Oscar and Grammy Award-winning composer John Williams delivers another collection of enchanting compositions, adapted and conducted by William Ross. Buy the music inspired by the magic. Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the original motion picture soundtrack, available on Atlantic Records.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Purgatory. This is Jimmy.
This is Dizon.
And Chris Tron.
All right. We carry on the Harry Potter series with Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Ooh. Ooh.
One year ago, he learned the truth.
You're a wizard, Harry.
And his first year at Hogwarts School became legend. And so, for Harry Potter and his friends, another year begins.
Bloody birds of menace.
Their education in the magical arts continues.
Pixies.
Laugh if you will, Mr. Finnegan. See what you make of them. No!
Old rivalries grow stronger.
Slytherin's got a new seeker.
Malfoy.
You'll never catch me, Potter!
And something in the school's dark past will be awakened.
The Chamber of Secrets has indeed been opened.
Unless the culprit is caught, it is likely the school will be closed.
Harry Potter must go home.
Oh dear, we are in trouble.
Here's the plan. You disguise yourselves as Crabbe and Goyle.
Are we going to drink that?
Yes.
Ron. Excellent.
This year,
Harry!
Warner Brothers Pictures presents...
How dare you steal that car!
The next chapter of Harry Potter. Where the past will return, and the struggle for the future of Hogwarts will begin. Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Let us hope that Mr. Potter will always be around to save the day.
Don't worry. I will be.
Yeah, 2002, yeah. This came, you know, so this is, and you could, the special effects hold up pretty fucking well, I have to say, in this movie. I was surprised.
I agree.
You get a little bit of the Keanu and Matrix 2 look in some of the Quidditch matches when the legs are flying around. But,
very good.
Overall, it holds up really well. Yeah, 2002, so this is, you know, Lord of the Rings is coming out. You can see with Dobby that there was obviously a lot of influence from how they used Schmeagol and how they captured all that.
And also but how yeah, they no. Recaptured, what's his name? What the fuck's his name from... I forget the guy from fucking Star Wars New Hope, who they brought back to life, Peter Cushing, I believe, when they first did, they first brought a dead person back to life, made him.
Oh, in Rogue One, in Rogue One.
Yeah. Rogue One, that's it. Yeah.
Did they do that here? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's it. Rogue One. And, yeah, he looks just like Dobby.
yeah, he fucking does. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, dude. It's holy shit, man. This was an easy watch for me. I was blew right past it. It seems like it's darker than the last one. I do like that.
Yes, yeah, definitely a tonal shift. And every book creeps more towards the dark.
I like that.
Yeah, it's what me and Mike were talking about last episode. Like, it kind of goes, it starts going this path pretty early on.
And the books get more adult. So do the movies, even though, you know, it's like, I know I've said this 1,000 times. It really helps to read the books because it gets even darker and more. It's just, they're just really well written.
No doubt, man. Yeah. And even where it starts off and you guys are like, man, his parents are pizza, or not his parents, but his uncle, aunt, quote, and
basically his foster parents, basically.
Foster parents, pieces of shit. And it really shows in this one, man. Just they have him jailed in his fucking room. Dude. Like,
well, I love the whole opening as well with Dobby coming in and fucking up the whole poor Harry. Harry's like, yes, I get it. I'll go up into my room and pretend I don't exist because y'all are having fucking guests over.
Even though it's his birthday, which is insane.
It's his birthday again. And of course, Dobby, this little motherfucking house elf shows up, and this guy is just like a bastion of rage and fucking destruction. But also, like, while being just completely apologetic the entire time and beating the shit out of himself for it, you know? It's crazy how he comes in and drops the cake on the lady. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, it's great, dude.
Dobby has to do this for Harry Potter. Like, what?
Yeah, and Harry's doing the Frankenstein walk right behind her, so obviously someone dumped it on her head, dude.
Like Dobby is like a sadomasochist, man. He's like fucking loves it.
He's into it, dude. Yeah, don't feel bad for the guy. He wants it, dude.
God, dude, I love that burlap sack, man. Fuck how Ryan gets his fucking dick.
I was assumed, I assumed he'd go out like fucking Keith Carradine or David Carradine, but I guess not. Maybe not.
If you could buy his loyalty with a dirty sock, you know that guy's a fucking freak, dude.
Right? Oh, man. Well, I love it, too. Like, then the Dursleys put fucking, like you were saying, they put him in jail. They put fucking brass bars on his windows. And I love the escape. The whole escape thing's awesome. You finally get to see.
Wonderful.
Because I think the car is kind of mentioned in the first book briefly. And so the car. The flying car.
Oh, is it?
Okay. I think briefly, like towards the end or something, like somebody says something about it. I feel like my mom was telling me. Okay. And she would know, she's read these books backwards and forwards like 1,000 times. I totally lost my train of thought. God damn it.
Yeah, they're going to pull the fucking bars off.
Like, and they do that. Yeah. I love it. I love that whole sequence too. It's fucking hilarious with George and Fred showing up as well. And just finally getting to see the car after hearing about it in the first book, man, it's fucking cool. They do good with those effects. It actually doesn't look bad.
Yeah, it looks awesome. It looks like it would just happen on ground. But the infuriating right before that, Dobby hiding all the letters he was supposed to get from his buddies. Like,
what a piece of shit.
Oh, Dobby. Crush Dobby with a hammer, dude. Yes.
Yeah. And the fact that he gets like, flick his fingers and disappear, I'm like, you fucking prick, dude. He gets off on that shit, though. He loves it.
He does, dude. He's a freak.
But I must confirm Joe says no mention of car in first book. So
say it again. What
Joe confirmed no mention of the car in the first book.
Thank you, Joe.
The Flying Ford Anglia.
The what?
Yes.
Type of car it is. Yeah.
Which apparently J.K. Rowling and her buddies used to drive around and back in college, and she just was like, it's my favorite car.
That's funny.
But
I guess you didn't like a Trans Am.
Nice one, Mike. You fucking slam dunk.
I want to agree with you. I want to say what you guys said before. I totally agree about the car. There's like amazing blending effects in here.
Where,
like,
fly
over the camera. That country.
You can tell they shot it separate on green screen, but man, you're right, dude. Yeah. Just the camera.
When it lands at the Weasley's place and it's still moving, it's blended like perfectly. It looks amazing. Like, I mean, when it's chasing after the Hogwarts Express, it's awesome. It's like, I've never seen this in the theater when I was older than a kid. I was like fucking 20-year-old.
That's so cool. My mom and brother just went and saw it recently. They show it. Yeah. The first and second one. They're doing the third one this month if y'all have access. They're also doing The Godfather at the end of the month too.
Wait, where? Shit. Where's this?
At Flashback Cinema. If you just Google Flashback Cinema, it'll tell you which theaters by you are doing it. Like, I got lucky. Mine's literally 2.5 miles from me. That's where I went and saw Gremlins and a couple other good movies.
Dude. So it's kind of like Fandom or whatever it is. The Fandom is the same thing. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
What a cool idea.
I did one fandom like early on, like back in like the mid 2000s. It was for Ghostbusters. Like I always wanted to see it in the theater as an adult, you know? And it's fucking on a DVD. It's like a DVD.
They have the menu. It's been 4K screen scans every time I've gone.
Good.
I'm glad. Gremlins. What was the other one I went and saw? Fuck, it's gonna piss me off. And then
this, right?
That one too. But there was another one. I did another. Oh, of course, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders, yeah.
And it was all 4K scans of all. Beautiful. The Abyss was incredible.
Beautiful.
Oh, nice, dude. Yeah, no, but, none next to me. But I do have that Flix Brewhouse is where I usually go to, which is kind of like your typical Alamo kind of setup with the nice chairs and telling everyone to shut the fuck up. If one talks, get kicked out kind of shit. So kind of, I like that. That's good. If you're taking around on your phone, you're getting the boot.
You're supposed to talk, really, but yeah. It happens.
Yeah, Flix is pretty good. I've gone in, I think that's where I went to go see Indy at the last
time. So Indy at E85 there,
nice,
right?
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. A little too comfortable, if you ask me. It's easy to fall asleep in those chairs.
Yeah, dude. I'm not going to lie. Dune was great, but that last like 30 minutes in, I was getting fucking sleepy.
Yeah. I mean, the two tall beers I had probably didn't help. That they brewed in the house. But still, don't make it too fucking comfortable, dude. It reclines all the way. Like you're laying down in bed watching a movie. Like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I never use it. For some reason, I feel like my legs are going to go numb every time I get in that position. So I just sit like normally, but yeah. Sometimes, man, it depends on what theater, but the AC's blasting. It doesn't matter how you're sitting. It's like, fuck, man, I'm getting
You put your body through so much hardship, it doesn't even understand comfort without going numb.
Absolutely. your feet
up. Man, I don't even chance anymore in my theater. Like, it's always fucking cold in there. If you go at night, holy fuck. And usually those flashback cinemas are kind of nighttime movies.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking free. I bring a jacket no matter what. Granted, you know, I haven't done it in summer since last summer, but I went just a couple weeks ago and it was fucking freezing in there.
Man. It's kind of nice though in the summer to get out and fucking, you know,
like get
ice cold theater. That's
a pretty
good way to spend the day.
And now you get an ice cold beer, which is like it's perfect.
Oh, amazing. Everything you've ever wanted. Yeah. But yeah, man, that whole sequence too, pulling the fucking bars off and his uncle tripping over and landing on his back on the way out just as a fuck you, and they buzz off.
And I love them getting busted at the house by fucking Mrs. Weasley. She's like, "Where have you been?" And then she's also of course I don't blame you, Harry.
Oh, like, so sweet to Harry, dude.
That reminds me of my friend's parents, I swear to God. Like, they would all, you know, like, we would get in some fucking trouble. And they'd be screaming at just, we'll say Andrew, because I remember this specifically with my friend Andrew growing up. He was being a fucking, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, I can't believe he's doing, like, my dad would knock the shit out of me if I was saying.
Oh, yeah. Right,
right. And anyway, she was going off him. She turns to me, he's like, Michael, now I know you've been very respectful the whole time. No, Andrew's just a little shit. fuck. We're like, he's wanting us to sneak out at like fucking 1 o'clock to go see these chicks, which I am all about that, but his mom's wide awake and there's no way to, and he was like, no, decent, let's just go, we're leaving. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, fuck, my dad, you, would mom.
Beat this shit. Yeah, that's exactly what was in the driveway screaming that shit.
I've voiced this before, and I've been on the other
side. She was such a sweet lady.
This happens often. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah. Anyway, so
usually when you have your Hispanic friends and their moms just go off them. You just like sitting there's like,
oh yeah, these chonklas are flying.
It's so sweet to you.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. She's
someone's getting smacked in the face.
Abuela's doing the windmill with a fucking chonkla. Yeah, dude. But I wouldn't necessarily categorize Ron Weasley as a shit kid. He's kind of just in
not at all
bad situations, right? Like, even though it's completely trash his dad's car and fucking run off with
it. But he's doing it for a good cause. And I love it too when they're like, your children took the car to Surrey last night. He's like, really? How'd it go?
Very bad indeed, children. Very bad. But I mean,
oh yeah, Harry, what exactly is the purpose of a rubber duck?
And that's really like, you're really like, it's really amazing that the deeper we get into this with part two, we get to meet the Weasleys family, and because mom and dad are around they're around for a long time, and they're some of the greatest characters in the series, especially
in the books, especially
The books especially, but I mean, in the movies, the actors they got to play those roles, they're amazing in those roles.
Perfect. They did such a good casting. Even if I've seen movie updates, when I go and read the book, I always kind of build characters in my mind. But they do them so fucking well, it's almost impossible to not picture the characters you see in the movie. The casting was just impeccable.
I would agree.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's the way that the calmness that his dad has when fucking Lucius is talking shit on his family to me is insane, dude. But it's like, I guess
they're at the fucking bookstore.
That store, just like, I didn't think a family could sink any lower, and fucking dude, just like
you and I have very different ideas of what shames the wizard bloodline or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. Also on casting, too, I wanted to say, apparently, originally, Kenneth Branagh as Gilderoy Lockhart is perfect. But apparently, yeah, Hugh Grant was originally cast and had to withdraw at the last moment. I think he would have been a perfect Lockhart.
For 2 weeks' notice, which is a
for 2 weeks, though, fucking, isn't that Sandra Bullock, I think? Yeah, another one of those? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I just talk like this. I don't know anything, so I'm just affable and shame. It's so fucking dumb. I get it, but I love Hugh Grant.
I love Hugh. Yeah, Hugh Grant's great. But I really think this might be my favorite Kenneth Branagh role ever of all time.
He's great.
He's so fucking funny and cheese and cringe.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize till this tonight when I watched this again, he's got a wig on his desk, and I'm like,
yes,
wearing wigs. I spotted it.
He's got a spare wig. Yeah, dude. That's it, man. Because he's not a good enough wizard to like organize his hair with a spell, right? It's a fucking wig.
Because it's a total sham and a fucking phony. But it's just really, it's funny they added that in there too. But yeah.
He's great. Oh man, I honestly was getting like, is he the guy responsible for all the shit vibes a few times because he just happens to be in the scene of the crime or late to when shit's happening? So I was starting to grow suspicion on him. I was like, until you realize what an absolute fucking buffoon the guy is, and he's just a
And also
a fraud.
Not even just a buffoon and a fraud, but he's also like incredibly like devious. Like the fact that he stole from these dudes and like erased their fucking memories. It's insane.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And just hides it all over just that air of being a celebrity, so to speak.
A celebrity, yes.
Yeah.
And a fucking shit wizard. Absolute shit.
Did you guys watch the post credit scene?
I didn't get it. Yeah, this is the only Harry Potter movie that has one, and no, you'll have to remind me. I forgot to watch it.
Okay, so I watched it tonight. I never knew it even existed till doing some trivia reading. It literally is the pan down in Diagon Alley, not Diagon Alley. It's Diagon Alley. Not diagonally.
Diagonally,
not diagonally.
Clearly, diagonally.
Diagonally.
Dumb fuck.
What did you just say?
It's not Diagon Alley though, is it? What's the main alley they're in? Figure what it's called, but not the bad part. The normal.
Oh, not Hogsmeade.
It is diagonally. Okay, Joe. Just goddamn.
Diagon Alley is the dark area, but the other place is called something else. I forget.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's called something else. But it pans down that street, and in the bookstore window, it's Gilderoy in a fucking straitjacket, and his book is like, it says Gilderoy Lockhart, Where's My Mind, or something like that. And he's like freaking out on the almost like Sirius Black esque, but like more like a wink in his eye, like, hey, come on. I lost my mind. What's up? Like, come on, check it out. That was pretty fucking funny, actually. So,
Lockhart is a dickhead.
I have to check it out.
Intro scene is fucking nuts too. Like handing Harry all the books and just being like, and of course all the girls are fawning for him, but there's just a handful of people who see through his bullshit.
It is kind of bizarre.
This is like what celebrities are like, indeed, dude. Like fucking.
It is.
Yeah.
But like, it's bizarre that like young girls
are Hogsmeade. Like, yeah, it is Hogsmeade.
Sorry. Hogsmeade. Okay.
And then Diagon Alley is another bad place inside of it. Like, it's just like the dark alley you go to.
Wait, Hogsmeade's the town outside of Hogwarts.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah.
Well, yeah, like you're saying, it is weird that like 12-year-olds
girls are
fawning
like for him. Like,
yeah,
it's weird.
But,
like, what?
But this is also the era where girls are fawning over fucking, you know, 30-year-old boy bands. And
that's a good point. I
at that age, so it's like
up my shirt.
Back streets back, all right.
And, but and I mean, that What level of bullshit was that? Yes. So, yeah, I could see that being like kind of a running theme with like, why are these girls obsessed with this guy who's clearly something's fucking broken?
And specifically like Hermione, because like the smartest.
Yeah, that's the one that threw me off. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, hey, a woman wrote this book. So, but I mean, yeah, it's very fan. Like, again, we said it before in the first film or first adaptation. This is very close to that book, man. I mean, like, it's really now. I think I might have to ask you guys this when we get done with the series. But I mean, it always one of the first things I think about when I think about the movie adaptations is intros, logo stuff. Like with the WB logo is a big part of like the world. Like it's like part of it. Like, well, you're gonna see it like in 3 and 4 and 5. Like. It's a big part of this world. It's weird. Like, and even the Harry Potter logo and the whatever, it's like so much immersed in this world. It's really fantastic. And this is one of my favorite ones, in my opinion, with the clouds. And then you see camera pans down, the pivot drive and stuff. And it's just really, really immerses you into the world.
Yeah, it's nice. And they really, and to add to that, they really do expand more on how big Hogwarts is. By adding all these, you know, secret areas and how the map, like just how vast it is. It's pretty fucking crazy. It is Chamber of Secrets, dude. Right, and another thing too, you really see how much fucking Malfoy steps into his role as an albino bitch. And holy fuck, that kid sucks ass, dude. He's so hateable in this fucking movie.
The worst.
Oh, man. He's dropping the mudbloods and calling he said what?
and
he dropped the M bomb, dude.
Yeah, Lucius. Is it Jason Isaacs? Is that guy's name? Who plays Lucius Malfoy?
Lucius, yeah.
Yeah, dude, he's perfectly cast once again. Too. You read the book, and I can picture nothing else but him in that fucking smug attitude.
And they did a great job with framing his face by putting the light right into his eyes, and the rest of his face is dark. Like if you look at the way they shoot him, it's like perfect.
There's some Dracula lighting in here.
Yeah,
like old school Dracula lighting, like from the 50s, with Bela Lugosi Dracula lighting. But did you know that he tried out for Lockhart first, and then but Chris Columbus was like, "Nah, man, I think you work better as Lucius." He recommended wearing the blonde wig and the cane with the wand inside of it and all that stuff. He recommended all that stuff, and Chris Columbus was like, "Yes, that sounds fucking cool." So much so that he wanted, like, he almost like tried to steal the fucking wand from the set. They caught him.
Oh, really? Yeah, you're gonna have to bring that back, sir.
I never understand why they can't just give those two. Like, they'll never make sense to me. They're probably gonna destroy them anyway.
Right. I'm sure Jason Isaacs owns it now, honestly, but.
Oh, yeah, well, it makes sense now that it's all done. But, I always wondered what happens to, like, these little props. Like, do they end up getting sold at auction?
Well, I know for sure. I know for one thing. I know, what's his name? I can't remember his name. You know, 2001, The Shining. I'm blanking hard. Kubrick was specifically purposely destroyed all of his props because he never wanted to have anybody else to have them. So
yeah. Stanley Kubrick, yeah.
Stanley Kubrick, yeah.
That's yeah, it. Yeah.
So if you got a piece of like prop work from Kubrick, you had to really like sneak it the fuck out because he'd destroy everything afterwards.
Yeah, wow, that replaced so many sets for 2010 because he burned them all.
Yeah, he burned them all.
2001, back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of sets, I think they did a fucking incredible job in this movie of building out sets, dude. The doors.
Mama made, man. It's delicious, dude, man. Every time.
It's so good. The fucking snakes on the door, how cool that shit is. Like the entry to Dumbledore's chamber.
His whole office is incredible.
Sick. Like a spinning brass lemon, baby. Eagle and the stairs right out.
I love that line. It's great. Yeah, it's amazing. Everything about it. I love Albus Dumbledore's his office with all, because I'm not sure if you know this.
Oh, yeah.
All the paintings on the wall are all former master professors,
headmasters.
Yeah, they're all the ones that have passed away, so they become a portrait and they're in his room. Which
seems like kind of a shitty afterlife. You just kind of hang out on a fucking wall, but you know they can't walk around these pictures. We find that out later. So
we do find that out later. You can do
that. But you die and you're stuck in art. What if you're like in Hitler's painting? Fuck my life.
Well, I think the photos are iterations of yourself, right? Because we see Lockhart and there's a photo, there's a painting of himself in the background. And once he lets all those imps loose, that like the background thing is battling against imps while he fucks off basically. So I wonder if it's just iterations of yourself because he's still alive and he has a penny of himself that's like reacting. So I don't know.
It's interesting because there's that scene in the first film with like the holographic card with Dumbledore and he's like, well, he's gone. He's like, and Ron's like, well, you can't expect him to see her all day.
Yeah.
That is interesting. That is interesting.
Yeah, really that cool. would lead you to believe that, like, yeah, his soul is in whatever the painting is.
Could you imagine, like, Dumbledore's, like, wanking in the corner and, like, they open a card and he just gets pulled into it real quick, like, ah, fuck, God damn it.
I specifically built a complicated entrance to this fucking I could see the eagle eyes would pull down my fucking robes.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
I mean, that's why Albus is the best. He's the best one, so.
He is.
Yeah. He's almost all knowing, which it's very strange. I mean, it's so much so that I forgot that he basically figures out that Ron and Harry is in Hagrid's fucking hut underneath the visible cloak. I was like, oh shit, I completely forgot. He basically sees right through it. He's like, hey, anybody needs help, just come to Hogwarts. Your help will, you know, we'll help you here. And it's just like walks out like, holy shit, he looks them like deadpan right in the eyes.
Yeah, so that was something I was wondering too when he had the fucking invisibility cloaks on. I was like, surely, like, some of these wizards must be able to detect that there's someone else in the room. And there, right then when I said that, there's fucking Dumbledore staring right at him, like, I know you're there, bitches. Yeah. I know you're there. But yeah, the Quidditch fight was pretty fucking sick. That was exciting.
Killer.
Like, really action packed. You get to see some fucking a wild, I don't know what that ball is called. The
Bludger.
The big one is the Bludger.
Yeah.
Just following them around, absolutely devastating the fucking stadium. I was waiting for like a crowd stand to collapse.
Right. They'll just fix it real quick.
Yeah, Joe mentioned that last night. I was like,
drunk fan. Like, Mendes Standis.
Joe mentioned that last night. I was like, it's fucking magic, man. Whatever. Like, fuck it. Who cares? It's awesome. It looks awesome.
Oh, yeah. They've got like damage control wizards probably running around the whole fucking Quidditch court.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Except
or just teachers in the fucking crowd like we see happen.
Yeah, yep. Or except if you're Harry's fucking arm bone just turns to fucking rubber by dumbass Lockhart, dude, which is an amazing scene, by the way. Love it every time.
Yeah, that flubbery hand. Yeah, you just see what a piece of shit Lockhart is. And no one has faith in him, too. That's in the know, right? Which is great.
Literally, McGonagall and Snape basically sentenced him to his death at one point. Like, hey, you're good at this, right? Like, you fucking take care of it. Like, oh, sure. Yeah, right away. Like, fuck off. Like, go off and die, dude.
What's the name of the skeleton potion that looks like it's a fucking
Skele-Grow?
Tequila bottle?
Skele-Grow.
It looks like Skele-Grow. Yeah, it looks like a novelty tequila bottle. Like,
it's amazing.
Hold on, take a shot.
Pretty sick.
We get to see Professor. What's her name? Professor
Sprout.
Sprout in this one. We get introduced to her. One of my favorites.
Yeah. Fucking mandrakes. Jesus Christ.
Dude, yes.
So fucking annoying. And I do like that you get to the fucking herbology professor in the game is really hot. So
she's
super like hot.
Yeah, she's a redhead and like super like tall. And, like because this was taking place like way before Professor Sprout came along.
Oh, yeah. Like hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Or like a couple hundred, something like that.
Something like that, because Hogwarts is like
maybe 100
something like that, but
yeah, it's 1,000 years old. Yeah,
yeah. But that the Mandrake stuff is awesome. It looks like it always reminds you of like Quado or some shit.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. Again, it's another great blend of CG and practical animatronics and practical effects. I mean, it's really good stuff, dude.
And I miss this shit. Like, I'm so sad that everything relies so much on CGI nowadays. It's like, God damn it. Spend the fucking money, make a practical effect, and it looks so much better.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what mind tonight, guys, looking at some of the stuff, background stuff, was that this movie cost only $100 million.
Which is, you know what's funny? It actually cost $20 million less than the first movie. Which never happens with sequels.
No,
like normally they'll double the budget, try to make double the profit.
Yeah, bigger, better, man.
Yeah, no, this actually made less.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, bud.
Oh no, it made less than the first movie, barely. I mean, it still made $900 million.
Yeah, it's $900 million.
Was it like 950 something million? Something like that.
It was close to a billion. And
fuck, man, Jesus, that's so.
The first one's like 1.1 billion.
Oh my God. Mike, did you read how much money fucking Radcliffe got paid for this fucking thing?
$5 million for this one?
$3 million.
And just think, that was this one. By the end, the total he got for the last one was like $50 million.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, dude, like, he is set for fucking life. That's why he's just doing whatever the fuck he wants acting wise.
Yeah, now. That's why he's showing his dick on stage at fucking Broadway.
Oh, did he really? I didn't realize he whipped out the fucking goddamn Avada Kedavra.
Yeah, dude. He broke out his hog in that one production that he did coming out of...
Go Gadget Dick. You're right. I forgot about that.
Shit. Yeah, it had something to do with fucking horses, equus, I think. Equus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Accio penis. Accio penis.
Fuck me. Yeah, I read that. I was like,
holy shit.
They offered him like $188,000 or something like that. And the union like made some sort of...
Oh, yeah, like, are you insane? The first time we made $1.1 billion.
God. Yeah. God damn, man.
And, it's kind of crazy. He only got $3 million out of the $100 million.
$3 million.
Yeah,
that is nuts.
And I'm looking at him. I'm looking at him in this movie. I'm like, well, he's fine, but I would never pay him $3 million to be in the fucking movie.
You can't.
I still think Radcliffe is the best actor of. I think him and Hermione Emma Watson and Daniel Radcliffe are the best actors in.
They're the best kid
of all the central guys. Even though I think Ron is fucking hilarious in this.
He's funny. It's very animated. His terror faces, you know.
Yes.
It's not
like the whole Squeak Boys. What's happening? Like whenever they're getting caught by the Whomping Willow or Weeping Willow, that shit's hilarious. Yeah.
I will say, I do think that Malfoy gets better later on in the movie.
I do too. And I don't think he's bad either. I don't think he is. He's funny, the whole...
He really hits that P fucking hard, though, in this thing. It's pata.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, damn. All right.
Like, whoa, bro. Whoa, we got to pull the boom mic away. All right. You hit that fucking
pop filter
you're
on
fucking
his
red line. And you're supposed to be green lining, you Slytherin fuck.
Put a pop filter on that kid.
and then also, I think Seamus later on gets pretty bad. He gets a lot better, too. And also,
Which one, Seamus? Oh, the goofy kid who fucks everything up.
Yeah, he always gets blown up in his face. But also I think what's his name? But Longbottom gets a lot better too later on.
Yes,
that's like way
also,
later on.
Neville's character in the book is so much more. It pisses me off how they don't really reveal.
Yeah,
that's something definitely Tron. Once you get to the reading part of the books, you need to, because Neville's character is so fucking underused in the movie.
Oh no!
Especially later on.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there are certain things he used for, but like, there's a lot of his story that's left out. That's very integral to the overall arcing plot.
Yeah, he's got some blood in these veins for sure. They go a long way, and you have to. Yeah. It really helps to have read the book or listen to the book when it finally comes to the time where like, we see like you know Neville.
No spoilers. Yeah, yeah. No spoilers. No spoilers. No spoilers. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing stuff. So let's talk about the sort of
how Hermione got away with probably getting a $2 billion check and only having to act for half the movie is a fucking score. Whatever she got paid, hell yeah, dude, get it, because she's frozen, she's fucking petrified.
Oh,
for half the movie,
fucking
rules, dude. Sign me up for that role. I want that.
Well, I'm sure that's all factored into what she got paid.
I hope so. Yes.
How many days on set? Also, for the petrified kids, there were full life mannequins made of them. So those are actually mannequins you see when they're laying in bed.
I'm going to need money for the likeness of me, please. And keep the tape rolling. Hell yeah, dude. Pay up, suckers.
Also, apparently, Emma, what's her name? It was Watson, she would bring her fucking hamster to the fucking set or some shit, and it died. And then they built the fucking, like, the crew that was building prop built it like a tiny fucking coffin, dude, with like velvet lining and shit inside of it. Bizarre. Holy
That's
shit.
That's crazy.
So weird. Holy fuck.
Dude, how fucking gnarly is that slug scene when he's fucking Weasley's coughing up slugs? Dude, yeah, that's insane. Awesome. Yeah, it's super good. Yeah, it's literally made me fucking nauseous watching it.
Apparently, there were prop slugs. He was spitting them out, but they flavored the slime.
Yeah, he said they actually tasted good. He said they tasted good.
I wonder what they flavored them as.
Yeah,
I didn't say that on the.
There's a guy in the back who's sucking all a lollipop and spitting in a spittoon.
This fucking so gross.
I think it's actually more brutal in the book. Honestly, it goes on for a long time in the book, but he does a great job. Fucking looking super fucking pale and
Yeah,
and we had the great conversation about introduced mudbloods in this too, which is pretty hardcore. Mixed with the fact that, you know, the Malfoys are terrible fucking racist Nazis MAGA group. But it's really you really start to feel like the divide is starting to happen here.
Right.
Well, it has a vibe that Hogwarts kind of is just like the entire world under a microscope. Right? Like there's these different factions that don't want others to exist kind of shit. And it's certain things like speak on other real life issues. It seems
racism and
the blind eye to slavery with Dobby when Lucius is hitting him with the fucking cane and shit right in front of Dumbledore. He's like not saying shit about it, you know.
Yeah, yes, a massa.
Yeah, exactly, dude. It wouldn't have changed the tone.
And I will also say again, I know me and Mike have said this probably a bunch of times, but there's a lot more fucking house elf stuff in the book, and it's a lot
deeper. Very fascinating.
Yeah, very fascinating stuff.
I can't underscore, like Jeremy said, we can't underscore enough how great the books really are. Like they're just that.
Oh, I'll be digging in our break between.
Oh yeah,
these three and the next three, but I'm already dug in, boys. So I'm definitely gonna get into it. Good. But I do need you guys to give me at least some background when there's holes missing. So
of course,
context for sure. But I'm really starting to like Hagrid. I got to say that guy's.
Hagrid's amazing.
He's the best.
He's grown on me quite a bit, dude.
I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
This guy's the king of just giving away common fucking knowledge over just a pint of butterbeer at the bar. Goddamn, dog. Fucking
not for me today, Tom. I appreciate it,
man. Getting fucking targeted as being like the guy responsible for all the shit that's going on in the school. I was like, you fucks. Like, that was like, why are you going to pick anyone but fucking Hagrid?
Again, it gets deeper with Hagrid, too. So,
I have no doubts about that. Yeah.
Very fascinating with Hagrid.
But you don't see a lot. You don't see a lot about the other two houses, right? Ravenclaw and
I'm not gonna lie. Even in the book, they really don't dive too much into them. Just they other don't. Little other things that are kind of integral to the overall arcing story. They kind of talk about little artifacts, I guess I'll say. That doesn't give anything away.
I guess they get into a little bit more when they get into part 7. That's probably
Involving artifacts and stuff like that. And that doesn't give anything away. Yeah. But yes, she doesn't really dive into it as much as you'd hope. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I can't remember if it's the fucking third or fourth book. It might be this book, the fourth one. Hermione's doing this whole subplot thing with house elves is all I'll say without spoiling anything. And in the book, it really drags everything the fuck down.
That's one. That's Order of the Phoenix.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Because me and you.
So the book is going to have some things
very
like
many
that.
Times about
the, yes, and Order of the Phoenix, in my opinion, is the hardest one to read.
Oh, really?
Sometimes I want to throw that book out the fucking window. It's like the Empire, so to speak, strikes back. Like in terms of tone shifting.
It's almost like when we did The Stand, like the extended version of The Stand. It's like, all right, man. I mean, listen, I get it. It's an interesting idea. There's an interesting plot twist, and it's a little deeper than that, but also it goes on for too long, and somebody should have edited it a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
And they
didn't
do that. And it just keeps going. But yeah, because like that, what Mike was talking before, the whole sort of house elf union thing, like it's just like, it takes you away from the plot completely in the book.
And there's nothing wrong with that in books, but man, it deviates so much.
So much.
Okay.
And there are little, but honestly, overall, even when the books get longer and you know, because fucking from book 3 to Goblet of Fire, you go from like a 350 page book to a fucking 700 page book.
And then
fucking 6 is 800 pages. Or I'm sorry, 5 is the longest. It's like almost 900 pages. And then 6 is like 800. And then the last one is like 800 or something like that. But to her credit, they flow so fucking well. Five is the only book, like, through the whole series that I'm, and not only that, it's because of events that are taking place, but also just it's fucking frustrating to get through, man. It really, really is. All the rest of them, don't be worried about the link because they flow really fucking well. And if you do audiobooks, it'll make it even seem more cohesive.
Yeah, Order of Phoenix. It's an interesting one to dive into, man. It's a big one, and we'll talk about when we get there. But also, weirdly enough, one of the shortest movies, which makes no sense because it's one of the longest.
The movie is so terrible compared to the book. Yeah, that's why I preface this, because once we get further away from the early movies, Chris, it's so different.
The further we stray from God.
Every day we stray further from God's light. Hauling ass in a Trans Am.
Yeah, she's tweeting angrily at Trans Am.
You don't understand. She sounds like a fucking pissed off house elf. Misguided, enslaved, and stupid.
Wow, Mike, you just really summed it up right there. Wow. Good. That's why we're all bummed that somebody so brilliant that created an amazing world and characters is just
cannot just be like
real life.
Wow. Right? You're playing the old stereotypes you're working against in your book.
Yeah,
but whatever,
whatever, man.
Still not see the irony in that. It's insane.
Yeah,
dude, dollar signs are blinding, especially when they get to like the nine figure range, 10 figure.
You just stop being connected with like being human once you make a certain
amount of money.
Just forget what humanity is like, and you know, being human. I guess it's. Yeah, and whatever dollar amount.
Hooray, I won Monopoly.
Yeah. Flip the table, flick everyone off at the table, and fuck off to your...
Go to the moon or to a bunker underground. So it's a billionaire to do it.
You could get it all done, you know, just... we can all live a Tremors fucking lifestyle, but you could dig that bunker underground for a lot cheaper than $1 billion, dude.
Now I have a little bit more trust in humanity than that. I have to. It's just part of being a human. I have to have more trust than that. Like, yeah, I can't live underground. I have to trust something, or I'm gonna fucking die.
Yeah.
Early from a fucking brain aneurysm or some shit for how stupid people are. But anyways.
Yeah, can't live like birds out there.
I digress.
Can't do birds. I digress. Just,
you got to be a phoenix. You got to light yourself on fire and come back.
And restart,
do not self. Do not self emulate or whatever it is. Do not emulate. Do that. Emulate. Thank you.
Yeah. Ooh, fuck, man.
Talk about the really interesting stuff with being petrified in the hallways and the sort of blood on the walls.
Oh, yeah.
And all that. Really
it's fucking brutal.
Yeah, it's very brutal. But
they killed Filch's cat.
Yeah. Well, he petrifies the cat. And then
they kill the cat. Killed his fucking cat. Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Really cool though I don't like this character at all. I don't remember his fucking name. He looks like a prick. He gets petrified, but he looks through like headless I forgot his name was headless, you know, John Cleese.
Nearly headless Nick.
Really headless Nick, and he gets petrified from it. It's really cool that like headless Nick gets fucking petrified too as a fucking ghost.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That's a lot of fun. And then like the whole figure, the movie, it's kind of clumsy when they're talking about the whole like looking through the camera, looking through the mirror, looking through headless Nick. It sounds more clever in the book, honestly, in my opinion.
Yes, it does.
But that idea is really interesting. That he, by looking through Neely Headless Nick, he's also petrified, which is really cool.
Oh yeah, I've seen a lot of themes with Harry and like fucking the Sherlock Holmes style shit, where he's getting down to the mystery and you know there's a how you know clever he is to put everything together in all these moments.
Harry's supposed to be like the man, he's supposed to be like the John McClane, basically a dude who just like kind of he's just there, happens to figure things out, and like
he's a little bit of a brainiac,
kind
too,
of, and Harry's also like a fish out of like he's a celebrity in a world that he's not a part of, you know, so like that's very different than McClane, but he's also the one who is supposed to come in and fix everything, which he kind of does, you know.
He's not the everyman.
Yeah, but you know, John McClane's an everyman. He's not Harry's not an everyman, but he thinks he is. but he's just not in his own world.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's a better way of summing it up. Yeah. That makes more sense. Because every time I watched or listened to Harry Potter, it was more like he's a wizard. Obviously,
I mean, he's a hero. He's a Luke Skywalker. He's a Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. That kind of character. But yeah, that's my point. We're making the same kinds of sense.
Here. Exactly. Yeah, it's the same hero arc. Yeah.
Although he's a brainiac, but at the same time, he'll make really stupid fucking decisions, like when they transform into those two other Slytherin kids. And just can't keep his fucking mouth shut for like 10 seconds to like.
You're wrong. He and Ron are the worst.
They're so fucking stupid in that moment, dude. Like, obviously, isn't the whole point to infiltrate and get information, but you can't keep your yap shut for like 10 seconds to figure it out.
And Cameron remember taking off his glasses. He's like, "Oh, it's why you put glasses? Oh, full reading." He's like, "I didn't know you could read." Apparently, that was an ad lib by Tom.
Improvised line.
He forgot his line.
That's a nice slide, dude.
He nailed it the entire time. It's like, what the fuck are we doing here, guys?
Like all the cupcakes they use to like fucking get him asleep looks so good.
And then poor Hermione.
Oh
yeah,
poor Hermione. She literally turns into a fucking cat, and like the smartest one of them all fucks it like and unintentionally.
Fucked it up.
Got cat hair. Like goddamn, I feel like human hair is gonna look a lot longer than cat hair. But whatever.
Yeah, well, that test tube looks
pretty long, dude. So that hair and that test tube look pretty long.
True.
That polyjuice potion, dude. That looked fucking you're drinking a fucking muff so potion.
Something to get like in the Heights or some shit, drinking a fucking vegan fucking grass shake or some shit. That's disgusting, God, man.
Like, it's that muff shot.
That's brutal stuff, dude.
Because the hair's floating on top, too, dude. Like,
before it's on whatever, top, dude. Yeah.
Before whatever bile juices are going in.
Nasty fucking mix this shit up, bitch. What are you doing? God.
I want to mention this real quick because we've moved past them already at this point because they're not in here very long. But Vernon and Petunia, like and Dudley, the way they're shot, specifically in the two Christopher Columbus movies, and I think even in part three, with I forget his name, the director there who directed Children of Men,
Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah, he's a great director, and he did a great job directing the third movie, in my opinion. But like the way all three of these guys shoot. Those characters in those scenes remind me a lot of, weirdly enough, like a John Waters movie, like in the '90s, like a serial mom or some shit, or like Hairspray or Crybaby. They're so fucking weird and like almost out of touch. It feels like it's to the point of like a different world. Like even though the Dursleys are supposed to be like in the real, just regular human life world, they still feel like out of place. Mm-hmm. In that time,
right,
and it's so goofy and ridiculous and over the top. You kind of, I mean, I love it, but like it feels like something that you would see something like in a John Waters movie in the '90s, like Harrisburg before. But yeah, it feels very much like that.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that similarity for sure, dude. That's God damn it. Yeah, when you went into more detail, or when they show more detail on, how does he keep going back to them? I don't understand that.
Back to what do you mean?
When
he has no choice.
He has no choice. Yeah.
Well, actually, that's bullshit, though. Or stay with the Weasleys. Oh, that's right. Yeah. You have to be a certain age to stay at the school. I guess, but he is a minor. I mean, if the Dursleys wanted to be assholes, they could, but they don't seem like they want him there. I always thought that in the book, too. Why couldn't he just fucking stay at the Weasleys?
I think the Dursleys versus Hogwarts in fucking court, dude. And you're stealing my son.
You can't take a fake fucking thing to court.
I mean, we're going to definitely get to a wizard court scene pretty soon in one of these movies.
Yes.
I'm with you. I mean, I didn't even mention it in one of the books too. Like Harry's just like, why can't I just stay with the fucking Weasleys, man? But this never works that way. And it's like, why not? I don't get it. You guys are fucking wizards. Who gives a shit?
Right. But I agree.
It works for the character. It builds character. It makes Harry a really great character because he's really like, by the end of this stuff in seven, like he really like he has become his own person, and it really has helped him mentally.
Right.
Like it's a really good thing, but I've had those same thoughts too, for sure.
Yeah. It bugs me every time it opens up a movie and he's stuck with those fucks. But at the same time, like you were saying, I kind of like them as characters, you know, I kind of like the idea of how they're portrayed and acted out. And it's pretty good.
And you need that ploy against the main character for sure. It's just, crazy.
Agreed. What's his name? Whatever his fucking name from, like Mike was saying before about the Luke Skywalker character, the New Hope. Like, I want you to go out there and clean the fucking drawers.
Uncle
like,
Ben?
What I gotta no, fucking do? You know, Uncle Owen and shit. It's like, why I fucking go to those dudes? I want to go hang out with my friends and get some power converters.
He's a lot like his father. Yes, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Kill younglings, fucker.
And fine then, keep your secrets.
Dude, the way Harriet and fucking Ron beat the shit out of Lockhart when they overturn him, and they literally like figure out the chute to the fucking Chamber of Secrets, and it's just a bottomless pit, and they basically would have committed a manslaughter had that not been like, absolutely, because they just shoved that man into a bottomless pit, and had he not slid,
wizard slaughter.
Yeah. Wizard Slaughter, dude. Wizard Slaughter.
That sounds like an okay psychedelic rock band.
Yeah.
Just okay. Just okay.
Not great.
Not great. Rock band at some point. In the '70s, sure. But it was weird enough though. I didn't think about the ramifications of possibly killing Lockhart until watching this movie today. I was like, I could have killed the man.
Technically, he's an innocent guy. Other than, I guess, not.
Well, he's a piece of shit. He's been fucking stealing ideas.
Yeah,
he's fucking Edison to Tesla. He's fucking stealing ideas and blinking everything else out around them, or killing them and wiping them.
But I'm saying, if two kids shoved Edison down a bottomless pit, they would go to jail for the rest of their lives.
Oh yeah,
it's like if Edison he put a bunch of a thousand kids in the shape of an elephant and like electrocuted them all and like, look, this works, right? They're fucking dead. They're dead, man.
Shocker.
Nice, dude.
But I do like the way we get the really cool. I think it's a really interesting backstory. Even though they kind of go by pretty quick with Moaning Myrtle in this. But I like the backstory of Moaning Myrtle, and they give her. It's what she does. She does a great.
Actress was 37 years
37 old. Years old.
37. Yeah. What the? Whoa, fuck?
Really?
Yeah. When I saw Tom Riddle, the guy who plays Tom Riddle, I was like, this guy, he's not 17. This guy's like fucking like 28.
Apparently, Eddie 30. Redmayne auditioned for that role. Yeah. Which in the shitty fucking next trilogy, it's like just gotta focus on gay Dumbledore and all, like, and not that Dumbledore is a terrible character, just like they just, it's so dumb. They wrote anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
I digress.
If he would have did that voice he did in Jupiter Rising, they're like, I am Tom Riddle. Like that's weird, stupid voice does that stupid fucking movie, man. But that'd have been amazing. But oh well. I like the fact though that. This is not the last time we're going to see sort of a way that Voldemort's going to try to come back in some way, a smart way, as he would put it, and fail over and over and over again until at some point he does not fail. And he's like, I'm fucking for real now. Like I'm fucking done fucking down. But I like how much he fails easily. Yeah. To children a lot of the time.
Yeah. Amazing. His plans are easily foiled by children, but you see why, right?
He's such an inept piece of shit.
Yeah, he's very prideful, and he's very gives away everything that's happening. Like when he has that basilisk, and he's like, "Oh, now the bird has blinded my beast. He can't see anything." It's like, don't tell him that. He's like, "Well, now he's but he can still hear you, and that's how he's gonna attack you." It's like, don't tell him that. Don't let him know anything. Yes.
Yeah, I love that his death every time is a painful fucking death. It's like,
that's nice.
I love it. It's dying so many times in real time, like every fucking time. It's amazing. Like he's just so arrogant. I just love when he fails. It's amazing. Like Harry Potter shivs the fuck out of him, and he just projects into fire and light, and he fucking dies. And it's like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Is that what you would say?
Yeah. When you're pulling out, you're pulling out your fucking your evil boss one hit weak point, and you start freaking out when your opponent notices that. That is not the move, dude.
I don't know how long you've been a villain, but
that is not the move.
This is a weak villain numbers, bud. You got to pump these numbers up.
Yeah.
Kill more kids, bitch.
Yeah. Stop petrifying them. Next time, actually start taking them down.
Right.
But on the topic of that. So every time a kid was petrified, there were spiders crawling in and out of the place, right?
Right.
Sure, yeah.
So, okay, I missed the point of how that correlates to Haggard's pet spider thing.
Aragorn, right?
No, yes.
Aragorn, fuck me. Wrong fucking franchise.
I went there too. It's very similar. It's very similar. Same time.
Yeah. So apparently, Hagrid snuck, and what you find out later once Harry starts going into the diary, that obviously Lucius Malfoy plants inside Ginny Weasley's tub at the very beginning. I even noticed that as a kid. He grabs a book out of her little fucking thing and plants two back in. I was like, oh, that's so fucking obvious. Anyway, so once he dives further into that, you go back into the time travel kind of little sequences. We found that Hagrid brought in Aragog as a pet because he's a friendly little spider that turns into a fucking 30-foot motherfucker at some point. But, you know, Hagrid's just a lover of animals. Animatronic
too, by the way.
Yes, pretty which cool. is crazy. Yeah, fucking nuts. I mean, they do CGI it, but it's like, holy shit, they did a great job.
They did, yeah. man.
Yeah. And anyway,
voice. It's amazing.
Yes.
Creepy.
And so, yeah. And so because of that, that's why Hagrid was sent to Azkaban briefly and expelled from Hogwarts because they thought that that spider was killing everyone.
They suspected him.
Petrifying.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Huh. Okay.
So what are you? Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So I was like, why were the spiders being there to begin with the second time around was because they were gathering information. Like what was the purpose of the spiders being at the scene of the crime? Like every time something was happening.
I think it's called a plot hole. And
Okay. Cause it did seem like an easy way to blame Hagrid for like what was happening, but it's like, well, why were the spiders even there?
Also, another word for it is like it's visually exciting.
I'm not gonna lie. I want to say once again, and you're probably gonna hear this like a fucking beating a dead horse. I think in the book something is explained, and you have to ask
I'm
Joe.
I'm sure
Joe
it is.
Joe's our resident professional, and I think there's something mentioned as to why. Maybe it has something to do with the dark arts.
Possibly,
maybe it was fucking the ghost of. Fucking, we just, you know, spoiler, the ghost of fucking Tom Riddle
creating all this. Making it look like an illusion help him through the plot holes, dude. We can help them out.
That's what I'm saying. And there are several, but I will say the one good thing about the series book wise, she does a good job of cleaning a lot of it up.
Okay.
But they're inevitable.
Yeah. Cool. Because
I'm not going to lie, maybe the most messy one is the next one. Just with certain events that take place.
Sure. We'll talk about it. Yeah. I might actually go back and listen to the third one just to be prepped up on that shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna reread the book. It's only like a 350-page one. I got that right here.
Yeah, I think it's only like something like 12 hours, something like that. I could probably knock that out for the next episode. So
nice.
But yeah, I mean you know that Hagrid's not fucking, you know, having spider talking to Aragog.
We know he's not the bad guy.
He's not the bad guy.
If there's anything we know, he's not the bad guy.
Right.
And it's weird that, you know, Harry is getting like true information from like
a fucking diary.
80 foot fucking spider who has more knowledge than the fucking Ministry of Magic. He knows the truth. But like, he's there and he's like, well, you know, we don't really eat Hagrid. But you guys aren't Hagrid, so they gotta be hungry for human bodies. So here we go.
It goes to point towards more of Harry's stupid decisions. Like, but he is a kid. Like, why the fuck would you trust this diary and not talk to anyone about it?
Right.
This? And even Dumbledore's like,
FaceTimes with it for no
reason. Nothing that you would like to tell me. And like, it's like your perfect opportunity, Harry, and you're not gonna say a goddamn thing.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah, right. Your face twice. Fucking riding with a goddamn ghost. Like, and he's not gonna tell anyone about this.
Yeah, yes, both movies. And even he finds the Chamber of Secrets and then decides to go explore it instead of being like, hey, y'all, hit the brakes on all the stupid shit you're doing. We found it. Here it is. Let's fucking all get in there and take care of this issue.
And these are what we call plot hooks.
plot
holes. Because, yeah. I mean, they have to be there. And, I, you know, and to be right. She does a great job of writing it that way. She really does. So I'll give her credit.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to run through that, dude. I'm stoked to see some of the unanswered questions or, you know, loose ends tied up.
Well, I was going to say, like, any ones you have, let me know.
Oh, that was a big one. But that totally made sense to me, you know. And also, why wouldn't he go to Dumbledore with so many of the things that he has knowledge about? But I'm thinking I can solve that plot hole pretty fucking easily, is that Dumbledore would stop him from pursuing any further, and Harry wants to be involved. You'd think, yeah.
These books get wild. There's so many times I want to throw the book at Dumbledore himself. Because, like, there's so many times this doesn't give anything away. Yeah. They're just like, just talk to the fucking kid, or someone talk to – communication has horribly broken down in the wizarding world. Like, apparently they just want to, like, send fucking Jedi thoughts rather than just speaking to one of them. It's like there's – you, and trust me, once you get further in the books, it's like, why don't you just fucking talk to each other sometimes? Like, it gets frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it has to be to tell the story that way, you know. Right. It has a great payoff, man. It's not Stephen King, which I'm sorry. I love Stephen King, but goddamn, that man can write in a magnum opus, and then the ending just sucks. Never knows every how to end fucking
it.
Time.
Never knows how to end
so
it.
So yeah. Dissatisfying. It's yeah. just like, oh god. And even he knows it. He re-ended the Dark Tower series like three different ways, or yep. two different ways, or something like yep. that. Like, what the fuck?
He sure did.
So yeah.
Yeah. And I've gone through all the alternates of that too. And it's like, even the alternative that you gave was still not a great way they to sucked. Exit out of a fucking, yeah, dude. Like, give me something. So
this I'm all the amateurist.
In, yeah.
Right. I'm it's the amateurist funny. Of amateur writers. And like, are you kidding me? I could come up with something better than that. I know I could. Granted, yeah. I need your fucking force or pre-sight to fucking for everything background, all the backgrounds and characters. But that, his endings are just terrible, man.
Yeah.
For the yeah. most part.
It's almost like it got handpicked out of like a fan fiction, and it was like, let's just take someone's fan fiction and throw it in. We'll make that the last book.
It's like, you know what? Fuck it.
This is like AOL days.
I got hit by a car like 6 years ago. I don't give a shit. Oh, shit. Fucking yeah. We were just talking about.
I better rush to Stephen King. Yeah.
His terrible endings. I love the guy, but man, and I was saying I love. There's so many plot holes. So many. Just gaps in this series, but it does have a very satisfying conclusion and ending that wraps everything up really well, in my opinion. But we just related Stephen King just doesn't sometimes,
and I love that. I'm so happy to hear that.
I've always said that Stephen King's short stories have better endings than his actual novels.
Yeah, because he's got to close the whole thing at once instead of.
Yeah.
Waiting like D said, exactly. Instead of waiting until he gets almost killed by a fucking van and then goes, oh, maybe I don't have that much time on this earth. Let's speed up. Come on, come on, get this out.
Dude, for real.
I think The Shining has a good ending. The original Shining has a good ending. The book. But yeah. But this is
I do too. But yeah, it's wildly yeah. different too for the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. His series are the ones that are, they fucking suffer. I think
they're problems.
Yes.
There's a lot of fucking holes in there. And gladly enough, he's not an asshole enough.
Cocaine. Cocaine.
But I'm glad he admits it. I'm glad he does say shit like that, which is good. He means it too. He means that I'm not good at ending shit. I agree with you, Mike. I mean, we're talking about plot holes in the movie. I don't remember a lot of plot holes happening in the book, honestly, but for her books.
It's always that way.
But yeah, they're always wrapped up very satisfying. But
though there are plot holes in her books. Like, so once we get further on, there's, and I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to pick it apart.
Please be that guy.
I still hate it. No, fucking the analytical nightmare, but yeah. I get it.
That's why I always look for you for the truth. I'm like, I want the truth.
I have to do it. Don't worry, it's going to happen. I have to do it. So like, it's compulsive.
But I will say that not to jump into it too quickly, but I really love the ending to this movie because it's very heartwarming in my opinion. It's a happy ending. They champion Hagrid. It's really great. Nothing like the book. The book does not end like this at all. I mean, it's literally.
It's very emotional in the movie when all the kids, I mean, yes. starting to cry and it shit and gather around. It looks good. Yes. I mean, it kind of worked. I liked the ending in the movie, but what happens in the book towards the end?
The book has a good ending, but he's right. It kind of gets dark towards the end. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, I mean, they do have the scene where Hagrid comes back. They clap, obviously. But they don't gather around him like he's like, I don't know, Jesus Christ. Santa. Yeah. But they have that whole celebration thing, but they're them getting on the Hogwarts Express, saying bye to each other, saying, I think, Ron, or maybe Hermione, that says, hey, don't forget to write us this time. He's like, I won't, because he didn't get their letters. He reads the letters in the book as well. He's letters back.
Good.
But
okay.
And it's him going back to the Dursleys' place. But like, and it's still heartwarming. You're still happy for Harry. It's very different that way. Because a lot of the time it's just him going back in the book, is him going back and then leaving the platform to go back to the normal lives again. And then
it's just sad. And you know what he's going back to? I just ripped the fucking face of the wall out of my window. We know these construction repairs are not going to be cheap. Thanks, Ron, but fuck. Thanks, Ron. Going to be a rough ride back. Going to be a rough ride.
But you get to know after a while, as the years go on, The Dursleys stop really fucking with him a lot more because they're scared of him.
And I'm sure we find out more information.
We'll get there. But yeah, it's an interesting, it's a great evolution to the character.
J.K. Rowling just throwing fucking breadcrumbs. Like, yeah, it is well delivered, but God fucking damn if it isn't frustrating once you get to book five. But it has a payoff. Good payoff.
Well,
that's,
and this movie's great.
At the end, does Dobby fucking explode Lucius down a hallway? Like,
that's amazing.
So the sequence of the book, that does happen. But apparently the whole Jason Isaacs was like, I think Lucius would say something after he leaves Dumbledore's office. And apparently this whole, you know, I just hope Mr. Potter will always be here to save the day. And Daniel Radcliffe repeating, don't worry, I will be. That's all ad lib. And I was like,
awesome.
That's pretty cool. That is not in the book. But what happens is with Harry putting his sock inside the book to give it to Malfoy to give to Dobby.
Yeah.
Well, it has to go from Malfoy to Dobby so it can free, because it has to be from his master.
Oh,
and so that's why he's like, oh, you gonna have to, Master gave me a sock. Master has,
give me clothing. Dobby is free.
And so it's free. He's also, fucking free.
You're fucking free, dude. That's
free to be his... Harry's master now, or Harry's.
He can do whatever he wants. And Dobby Toby does Jones come back later.
There's that voice
of Dobby. Oh, that makes sense.
I never knew that until today.
So. Good, because where it left off, it does seem like Harry's going to have to deal with Dobby almost indefinitely now, and he's
He's kind of in and out. But
he's in and out.
Later, he does play a very
going on here.
Oh fuck!
he plays a big fucking role in part seven, but he's
definitely and six and seven, I think. Oh no, I think you're right. Just seven. I keep forgetting seven is two movies.
Well, it is. But you're right. I know what you mean, though. But I mean, he plays a really big part in seven. But he also plays a big part in Order of the Phoenix as well.
Yes. Fuck.
But
Anyway.
But that line though with Lucius, and he's just like, you know, I hope you'll always be here to take care of things. He's like, and Harry's like, I will. Don't worry, I will be. It's almost a yippee-ki-yay motherfucker line. Like, it's like, it's amazing. Like you feel that acting is really good right there. It's awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. I mean,
Daniel Radcliffe was really, he's a good actor. He is. I mean, he had no other choice than to come into his own while doing these movies. Yeah, you know, like, it's like fucking Seek or Swim, bitch, or fly on a broom, whatever. And he does, man. He does great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he did phenomenal in this fucking movie, dude, honestly. And I can only imagine his acting keeps getting better with, you know, further series, even though, like you guys said, the movies may themselves become infuriating because of, you know, lack of, you know, book content. But
directing, it's mostly directing and writing.
Yeah.
Yes. You're right. It's Steve Kloves starts to fucking sneak in. I think Alfonso Cuarón, who, you know, directed Roma, bunch of great fucking movies. Does a great job with part three, but that is where it starts to deviate. That's where you start seeing a lot of differences.
Yeah.
But four is where the massive jump is.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting that four, man, it's weird. It's really strange. I mean, cause Goblet is five, but I love, we'll get,
but they leave so much out. They leave so much out. Yeah. And you'll see that trickle down throughout the books. And so they have to cut future storylines because they cut it out in X movie before. And you're like, fuck, just like goddamn fucking cutting floor room nightmare. Yeah.
Shame.
I know. And that's still, that's my, the Half-Blood Prince is my favorite book still to this day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, man.
And the movie's not.
I remember seeing Half-Blood Prince in the theater going, what am I watching here? What the fuck is
it? I saw it in IMAX.
The opening?
I know.
I was like,
paid to see that shit in IMAX.
Are they going for Fincher or some shit? What the fuck is going on here?
It is strange.
Anyways, but there's a lot of fun to be had in this film, and a lot of really fun new, what you're going to get introduced to is always a fun new character. I mean, Cornelius Fudge is so
interesting. He's always defense book. Against the dark arts teacher.
Yeah, very true. And I will tell you, I think I've said this before, but I mean, maybe just to Mike, but I might have mentioned on the episode last, but part three has my favorite dark arts character and teacher, and one of my favorite, my top three characters of all time in the Harry Potter series.
And favorite actor. He became an actor because of that. They, once again, perfect casting.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. One of the most sympathetic and characters you want to be behind forever. And I'm so glad he got, he gets introduced, but I can't wait to talk about him next time, 'cause he's the best.
Me too.
For me. But yeah, it's just, we always get a fun, interesting, like two or three characters. I mean, in this we have Lockhart, we have Colin Creasy, who's the guy who takes photographs and stuff and gets petrified eventually. He's a new character. We have Madame Pomfrey in here.
A lot more of Lucius.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Lucius' first appearance. Yeah.
Yeah. His first appearance. We have it's fun to see Madame Pomfrey though, because she's mentioned. He's in a lot of the books in
places dude, here and there. Yeah.
It's cool to see her here in this in her actual form, which is really fun. But yeah, and a lady that's on the panel. Excuse me. That's on the panel. That's right next to Snape. I have no idea who that witch is. I have no idea who the character is. Makes no sense.
Dude, there's a whole fucking Reddit page on that. I remember reading about it. I will find it out.
Of course there is.
I will update on next episode. I promise. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. There's this whole thing done. I got you, boys.
Wow. That's incredible. Gotcha. God bless Reddit sometimes, man.
Dude, seriously. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. They're fuck. Yeah. They're like Jesus either. Detective heroes or detective fucking nightmares, boss.
Oh, yeah. It's the greatest and worst place on the internet.
Exactly.
But yeah, just a really great sequel. I was thinking about this. So the first movie has a great painted poster. And the second movie has a pretty good painted poster. But I didn't realize this, but I'm not sure if you guys have, but they took all these movies off of HBO Max. Like, on the 5th.
Oh,
damn.
And I'm not sure how I had to rip mine from Vudu. Joe actually bought the 4K collector.
I fucking last night. It blows my mind. I don't know how y'all can't get into Vudu. I'll have to figure that out tonight because I own them all.
Yeah. But they took them off there. But like, the sort of like poster art they put on for the digital is just fucking gross, man. It sucks. Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah,
it's right. And
also, dude, HBO and all these people are cutting down on they're doing the Netflix thing. They're fucking cutting down on the screens thing.
Yeah, that could be it.
Cocksucker.
Possibly.
Piece of
shit. I know they moved.
Hulu's done it. Netflix has done it. Yeah, it's really going on.
And now. Netflix made a lot of money on it, too.
Yeah, just tells everyone else to do it.
Peacock bought the rights, so Peacock now has all the stream rights for Harry Potter now, too. And yeah, they have the premium fucking subscription, too. So it's like, fuck you, man.
Oh, come on, man.
Of course.
Fucking bleeding out, yeah.
Oh, it's just like Amazon Prime. Like, oh, here's another. Pay me $3 more so you don't get ads, you fucking cocksucker. That's the whole reason I wanted this thing to begin with. And same with Netflix. Now they have ad options. Cocksucker.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. That there's anything wrong with cocksuckers. I benefited greatly, female.
Yeah, it's obviously the problem, if you will.
It's just bizarre to me. It's like, you know, it was cheaper for me to buy that whole collection of Schumer's movies, and then Joe bought that 4K box set for like $60 used on Amazon. I'm like, that's a way. We could have movies, but I'm not gonna fucking rent 8 fucking movies. Not gonna happen. It's just too much, man.
Right. I bought the. It went down to $25. The DVD version.
Nice.
I'll just watch those.
And it just like the fact that we have to like trouble. I mean, all of us have to troubleshoot the show to like find things, and it's just like I hate to ask for you know, I have to hate to be like, that passion doesn't work for me, it works for him, works for you, whatever. It's just might as well own them physically, which I always like to have, like to do if I can afford it.
Streaming, it's turning me off from it. Streaming is really turned into a night. It's
especially
cable.
That they're fucking the censoring certain episodes, like, or removing them completely. Yep.
It's Always Sunny. You have to, there's so many episodes they fucking pulled off. That, man.
Yeah,
fuck
really.
Yep. Oh, dude, like 20, a lot of episodes.
It's a lot of them, dude.
At South Park can't even play some of their episodes.
Yeah,
bizarre. It's weird. Yeah, this is off the page situation here, but like, I've been going back and watching Kitchen Nightmares again because it's my good place.
It's my good place. Yes.
The British ones are better in my opinion.
Well, I mean, yeah, the all original first series is best, like all seven or eight seasons.
Oh yeah.
But literally, I just wiped out all the fucking political shit. Just went back to just having a good time watching Corbin Ramsay yell at people for and touching gross food.
Oh, me too, man.
Oh yeah,
it's a great place to go. But YouTube is in a better job at collecting all those episodes with subtitles.
I've been watching it on YouTube too. I'm not even joking. It's like on my stream right now. We've been religiously watching. I just watched the episode where the guy said that there's no such thing as a fresh burger. Because he froze the burger. He had a frozen fucking burger.
Reminds me of the menu.
Selling it as fresh. Oh, that movie's great. Selling it as fresh. And then the fucking Ramsay goes, this isn't fucking fresh. It's frozen. He's like, it was fresh when I fucking froze it. He's like, then it's not fucking fresh. It's fresh frozen. And then the guy was funny. He's like, there's no such thing as a fresh. And they boiled the burger afterwards in water to warm it up. And then he goes.
I hear just that fucking guy. He's like even Gordon's like, How hard is it to make a Caesar salad? He's like, it's pretty hard. The guy's like, it's pretty hard to make a Caesar salad. He's like, make a Caesar salad? My fucking grand could do it. And she's fucking dead. Love Gordon Ramsay.
Anyway, it's great, dude. Yeah, way off topic.
But yeah, but it's just weird that like we just had them the last time we watched the first movie, and it's like they're gone. It's like, what the fuck happened? And I looked it up, and it's like a whole article about it. It's like, wow, holy shit, but. But I think Chamber of Secrets is awesome. I think it's we talked about before this. It has a dark turn.
I think it's better than the first one.
I think it's better than the first one too. Having Ginny Weasley being sort of pawn for Voldemort, and her basically throwing a fucking diary in the toilet to overflow the water for them to find the book is pretty fun. but like, it's a really good. Awesome, and there's also like a lot of really cool camera work in the movie too, like Dutch angle stuff, and it's a awesome fucking movie. And we have to say it again: the sentient car that just drives back into the woods or just shows up to save the lives of Harry and Fang and Ron. It's really cool. Like, when they watch that car drive away after they were saved, and he goes back into the woods, it's like, where's the car?
Where's he going? Does he have a car family in the woods? What's
and
happening?
It saves them with the fucking spiders later.
It's amazing. It's so weird.
You're just hanging out here? Thanks, buddy. What a good car. Yeah.
And the Whomping Willow, who's an awesome character, comes back later. Yeah.
She's the fucking smashing Willow. God damn.
Yeah. Also crushes a bird at one point, too, eventually at some point.
Great scene.
Amazing.
I love this movie. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool, man. And I love that I love the line, like, her bones will lie in the Chamber of Secrets forever. It's a great line, so.
Yeah. Well, it's written on blood. Written on blood, which is even more metal, dude.
Right. No shit.
Kind of reminds me of Helter Skelter. The pigs. Fuck the pigs, man. Or whatever.
Hail Voldemort, dude. Fuck yeah.
But yeah, there it is. The Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, man. Fun flick. Great flick. So I worked at the theater when this came out. It was booming. It was amazing at the time. It was really fun to see. And love to see all the Harry Potter fans. And it was the day of lines, like movie lines.
Yeah. Right.
I remember seeing all that stuff at the time. It was really cool to experience all that stuff and putting out the signs for the times.
And setting up the merch line or whatever the fucking, the queue lines.
T lines, yes, it right. And you put them on the whatever those rods were called that used to.
To collect together, like the seatbelt rods is what I always thought of them.
They had a name for them. Like, that's a fucking name. It's weird, like way too technical, but they have a name for them. But like you put the sign on top and you put the time on there and people
show up. It's a seatbelt on a stick.
It was cool as shit. And I have a lot of fond memories for all this stuff. And luckily for, you know, for us talking about it and firstly for you, Tron, to have seen it for the first time, for all of it to hold up.
Oh, I mean, man.
It kind of shows you the power of
it hands up fantastic. Filmmakers. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how much love was really put into these movies. And yeah, it's a great time to go back and check the shit out because it's a lot of fun
for me. Oh, yeah.
Agreed, man.
I'm enjoying it, buds.
All right. Well, here's the show. Please go out and watch Harry Potter anywhere you can.
It's on Max. Pretty sure it's on Max.
Is it still on Max?
Yes. I'm almost positive.
That's kind of what I was talking about before. I was like, I went back to Max and it was not there. So,
yeah.
Oh, damn.
On the 5th, they removed it, right? You said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Max, they removed
it. Oh, yep. You're right. It's on Peacock. It's all on Peacock.
It's on Peacock now.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have Peacock and a premium subscription to Peacock, you can definitely watch it and stream it. But Max, not there anymore.
Spend more money.
So, spend more money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They literally removed it.
Fuck you, buddy. So,
hey, yeah. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. Take care of each other out there and don't be a piece of shit. And we'll talk to you soon. Later.
Later.
Peace.